Things just aren't what they used to be, I thought to myself as I sat quietly in the Bugler Hotel, in the darkest corner, as far as possible away from everyone else. Just one careless drift of the eyes that was noticed by someone who didn't want to be looked at, and I would get flattened again, for the seventh time that day. So I just sat there, carefully watching the bubbles in my snake owl, trying to look inconspicuous, and trying to make plans to lessen my misery. The trouble was, no one liked me. Very few people had taken a liking to me in my life, in fact. Even my dog Blackie had run away when I forgot to feed him on just one night. My parents never particularly took to me either, and I sensed they were glad when I made the big move out of home. In fact, the last thing my father said to me was, "Good luck, Slim." He was a horrible man. He was always hitting people. Me, my mother, who was also a bit of a fighter, sister, anything that got within 3 feet of him. He had a good layer of fat on his horrible body, so nothing could hurt him. I used to have nightmares about him, my fists going into him like jelly, wading about in him, trying to cause him some sort of pain. "Good luck, Slim," he said. And then he gave me the hardest punch he'd ever given me in my life.
"Good luck, Slim."
My mother wasn't very nice about it either, and threw a large can of beans at me. Perhaps they were for father, but they hit me, and they hurt. But I still grabbed the can and scuttled off into the wet winter night. Screeched my unbearable sister Maxie. She was horrible, a disgusting, overbearing girl who ground me into the dust on sight because of her superior physical construction. She was always taking the few friends I ever had the chance of making into her room for evil, then turning them against me by telling them lies about me, that I had 4 testicles and a thin curly penis, and that I wore a wig. She was a horror. Whenever I tried to lure her acquaintances away, they'd laugh at me. There was always something they could laugh at. And they loved to tell me what was wrong with me. They said that I was too thin and that I had an enormous nose and a long neck. They used to torture me by tying me up and putting chips down my underpants and making Blackie eat them. They used to tie me up everywhere. They tied me to a tree in the middle of winter, then hosed me down. They tied me to the backs of their motorbikes so I had to run along behind them. They tied me to telegraph poles in the middle of town so that people could laugh at me. They shoved every conceivable thing down my throat. Bottles of tomato sauce, bags of flour, sand, live skinks, anything they could think of. But then, that was the trouble with the world. No one really liked anyone else. I tried not to look up from my empty glass of snake owl, but after a full minute I had to. My head just involuntarily swiveled.
"What are you staring at?"
It was a large hairy man with a huge moustache glaring at me. "Pardon, sir?"
"You heard me."
There was only one thing to do. Sprint.
"You talk like that, man."
Right into the side of my head. The chair collapsed under me and I sprawled onto the floor. I instinctively started wailing like I used to when Mother hit me with a crowbar so as to stop her as fast as possible. I was screaming at the top of my voice at such volume that I didn't notice that he'd gone over to the bar. Out of the corner of my eye, I could see the people scattered around the bar were looking at me in a bored sort of way that could turn to mob violence at any moment. So I ceased the wild groans. "The snakes," he said rather loudly to the barmaid. She timidly got him one and placed it on the bar in front of him. He slammed her in the face and she flew into the row of bottles behind her. Then he walked over and put the glass on my table and gave me an enormous kick in the back. After a minute or so of agony, while I waited for my wind to come back, I looked around. He was at the other end of the room, poking someone with glasses in the ribs and calling them Professor. so I raised myself onto the stool and started into my snake ale. Snake ale was a big seller in these dark times, mainly because of its medicinal value. There was some sort of anaesthetic in the brew that revived you after a day's beating. The drug in it probably wasn't really legal, and its healing properties, or rather soothing properties, were only hinted at in the ads. But everybody knew and nobody cared, and everybody enjoyed a good SA at the end of the day. After I finished my snake, I felt a bit sore and sick still. What I really wanted was another one. But I had no money, as I had just spent the last of my invalid's check. My scheming mind went through a number of plans, but it settled on helping. People often rewarded you with a snake ale if you helped them into a bar or something when they were lying in a crumpled heap on the side of the road after a belting. So I went over to the bar to see what I could do. "Are you all right?" I said. She was still lying on the floor with blood coagulating in various places. So I climbed over the bar and mopped up the blood with the sponge she had for wiping down the bar. After making sure no one was watching, I quietly poured myself another snake ale. She seemed to be still alive but unconscious, so I emptied a bucket of water over her, like they do on television. She yelled and sprang to life. But it was too late. I was instantly involved in snake ale consumption in my corner. It was dusk now, and everyone was either leaving or had left the bar for the night's entertainment. At dusk, a certain mood spread through the air and people began to get restless. They poured out onto the streets and tension built till it had to be released. People walked around, glaring at each other in the haze. You could hear, "What are you staring at?" repeated infinity times, echoing all over the city. "What are you staring at? You heard me. What are you staring at? This burst with the sound of flowing urine as they staked out their territories. This sort of thing went on for an hour or so until scuffles broke out, and then violence erupted, and to punctuate the violence, various forms of rape of every conceivable description occurred. It was a rude sight indeed, and I tried to avoid the evening as much as possible, as I would always come out the worst, covered in all sorts of fluids of varying degrees of viscosity and vast amounts of pain. I shed a tear for my sad predicament as I sat alone in the Bugler Hotel. The girl was putting chairs upside down and clanging things. I could hear the noise beginning in the streets outside in the darkness. The wind was beginning to howl around the hotel. I felt cold and alone, and I began to shiver and sob a little louder.
"Drinks!"
she yelled at the top of her voice as if there was anyone in the Bugler Hotel but me. Yeah.